Be seated. Okay, keep your Bibles open, especially cadets and gems. And we're going to have a look at Proverbs chapter 3, 1 to 12. Okay, just keep it open. And look for key words when I mention them. Okay, just keep your eyes on that. So today, special listening time. Now, begin by saying, brothers and sisters, cadets and gems, what mum and dad in the world does not want the very best for their kid? Parents want to give children good gifts. They want their daughters and their sons to live a life that is worthwhile, meaningful. Sometimes we call it a purpose-driven life. I know for me, ever the first day I became a daddy, and I continue to pray, let my children and the life of my grandchildren be rewarding and meaningful in every way. Now, chapter 3 of Proverbs begins to expand on a subject or a theme already introduced, but this time in greater detail. And this morning, what I'm going to do is just focus on 12 verses. Now, it's a lot. The first 12 verses of chapter 3. Chapter 3 divides into four sections, and the first section is the verses 1 to 12. And I know that these verses are probably amongst the best known in the church. I've had many requests for weddings over the years, and I can't remember how many times a couple said, we want our text from Proverbs 3. So learn it off by heart. Now in the first part, the verses 1 to 4, the father is sitting down with his son, and if you're not a son, you can pretend, or be a daughter, which is just as nice. A father sits down with his son, and he has something on his heart. And he says, I do not want you, my son, to forget my teaching. Now, the teaching this dad has in mind is not his own wisdom. And dads and mums amongst us will know what I'm talking about now. The teaching we have in mind is not our own wisdom or ideas or experiences. What a godly father and mother do is want to teach their children the wisdom from God's Bible, from God's Word. I want to teach my children the commandments of God. I want to teach my children about the love of God. I want to teach my children about the mercy of God. I want to teach my children about the covenant of God. So listen, my son, says Dad. Listen to my teaching and make the deepest well of your wisdom, where you draw your wisdom from like water out of a well, draw it out of the Bible. Now, what the father does here, he has in mind the instruction that many of us have heard over and over again in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Do you remember this? Hear, O Israel. You know the rest of this verse, don't you? The Lord our God, the Lord is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Note that word. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. You see, why put the Bible at the heart of everything? Well, because according to the Bible, long life, have a look at verse 1 and 2, for verse 2, length of days, it's another way he's saying long life and peace they will add to you. Girls and boys, what's the fifth commandment? Fifth commandment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, with an H. Thank you. What did you say? I think you had it right. My hearing aids are off. That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God gives you, and that it may go well with you. Honor, respect, obey. You know those words, don't you? Easier said than done. Now, I want you to notice in that verse 2, length of days, that means you can become old, and from Christian perspective, eternally old. Of course, it's life everlasting. And what's the next big word? And what's that next word? It's peace. See that in your Bible? Peace. The Hebrew word? Yes, please. Shalom. Shalom chavarim. Okay, the Lord be with you. Okay, shalom is fullness, it's wholeness, it's completeness, it's harmony. It's living in rest with your relation to God. Shalom is living in peace in relation to other people, you know? And it's also, this is most important, also living in peace with yourself. Sometimes the biggest enemy in your life is moi, okay, me. So notice that peace. Now, have a look at verse 3. I like this one. This is for necklaces. Let not, and here you get the first one, steadfast love and faithfulness, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Girls love necklaces. I don't. I never wear one. I'd look stupid with a necklace. But this is a special necklace. Mums and dads, it's a necklace called steadfast love. You know, I know some girls wear a necklace with a heart on the bottom. Well, steadfast love is bigger than that heart, because steadfast love, if you like, is the special love that God has for us. It's a special love mentioned in Genesis chapter 17. I will be your God and you will be my people. It's a special love of which Paul speaks to the Ephesians when he says, from before the foundation of the world, God called us and chose us in Christ to be holy in his sight. It's a special love that when we read in Paul, when the fullness of time came, God sent his son and his name is Jesus, right? Why? Let the love of God, let the love of Jesus become the necklace which you show off to other people. And the other one is there, that steadfast love, what's the other part of the necklace called again? What does it say in the Bible? Yeah, because I haven't got my... That's faithfulness. Yeah, I haven't got that in front of me, so I've got to remember this. Faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, what's faithfulness mean? Sticking to it. Not forgetting. You know, to be faithful means to stay in the right direction, does it not? And brothers and sisters, how's your necklace today? Does love and faithfulness, the love, the steadfast love of the Lord, which has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, which has opened your eyes to the Lord Jesus, which has given you a hope that will never disappoint you. Are you wearing that? Just look at this. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And can I say, the tablet of my heart has been written on by nothing less than the blood of Jesus. That's what that means. so wonderful, so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Now, I'm just thinking, what's good success all about? Well, we're going to talk about that in a moment. But I want to say to this, no matter if I lose everything in this life, good success means that nothing in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. See it? And I know one thing. Fathers and grandfathers, mothers and grandmothers, what are you praying for your children and grandchildren? What do you never cease to pray for every single day of your life? I pray it and I weep sometimes as I pray it. But I want my children and grandchildren to find good success in the sight of God and men. And if you like, to find Jesus. That's the priority that we long for and we pray for and we need so very much. Now, brothers and sisters, I've put in my manuscript, in the language of the New Testament, the Father here is commanding his Son to go, grow, and glow in his love for the Lord Jesus. And I remember those three words because I once did a cadet camp on that theme. Go, grow, glow. Just wonderful. Now, anything less is nothing. So commit yourself. Now, I want to say this, when you commit yourself to faithfulness, you're going to walk into a battle. Because this is one thing in person in this world that doesn't want you to be faithful. What's his name? Who doesn't want you to be faithful? Satan, right? And he uses every dirty trick in the book to make you unfaithful and to make you forget the steadfast love of the Lord. So whatever else, learn from Jesus. Lead us not into, but deliver us. Exactly. Learn to pray that. Let love and faithfulness never forsake you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's simple. Now, Satan wants to attack every human being at every point. And there are four key words now that occur in the verses 5 to 12. In verse 5 to 6, the key word, check it out in your Bible, look, read it with me, is T-R-U-S-T, trust. Verse 7 and 8, I see another little word there. It says, do not be wise. The positive way of saying is this, fear. So number one word, trust. Number two word, fear. Number three word, verses 9 and 10, you're looking at the word honor. If you like, honor the Lord. And the verses 11 and 12, I've had to put in a word that isn't really there, but it's the word to appreciate or accept God's will. You know the prayer? Not my will, but thy will be done. Okay. Now have a look at this trust one for a moment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Can you trust God? You know, all of us are saying, of course you can. Another question is, do you? Do you put your money where your heart is? Or we used to say, put your money where your mouth is. Maybe that's a bit old-fashioned now. But, you know, trusting God means taking God at his word. And when Jesus says, for example, that if earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Trust the truth of that promise. Jesus, take him at his word. And it means surrendering to completely to the fact that Romans 8:28, you know what? For God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Trusting that truth, especially when there's darkness out there. And it's remembering 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. God will never let you be tested or tempted beyond what you can bear, but with every temptation he will provide a way of escape. Trust it, trust it, trust it. Now, I know that the great temptation is to forget that. You know, for young people and for not so young amongst us, it's easy to convince yourself that nobody understands better than you life than you know, than you yourself do. Be not wise in your own eyes. Because a person that's wise in their own eyes is trusting in themselves, not in God. This is basic Christianity, brothers and sisters. This is basic proverb wisdom. It's so easy to forget this. But, you know, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do. Number one word, trust. And I've got to keep going because otherwise we'd run out of time. But number two word is fear. Look at this. Be not wise in verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear isn't being scared, but it means putting the will of God, the wisdom of God, obedience to God as number one. It's a matter of saying, I tremble when it comes to disobeying God. And if there's one thing that the 21st century Western world has forgotten, and so many Christians are in that category as well, it's the fact that holy fear is at the heart of our trust and obedience. You see, do you ever watch a television and you get so disgusted at it that you turn it off? And the thing that gets me most on contemporary television is the absolute irreverence when it comes to the name of God. I mean, I heard a women's show the other day. I wasn't really listening to it. But one of the women cries out, "Oh my God!" And I said, "Do you know him?" And sometimes when you hear language at school too, the way kids talk, they treat God like you treat something dirty. Brothers and sisters, God is holy. Absolutely, totally holy. And the wrath of God is also very real. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't think that you know more than God. Don't think that you're better than God. Don't think that I'll do it my way, but say it, fear God, obey, for he is a holy God. The promise, as there's always these promises in these verses, verse 8, it will be healing to your flesh, refreshment to your bones. Sometimes I think of the healing process along the lines, you know, you have an argument with somebody. In our church, we're very good at that with each other at various points. And you want to discover healing? Well, the healing that the Bible talks about, brothers and sisters, is to submit your will to God's. And to recognize as you walk humbly before him that it's you that needs to say sorry before waiting for the other person to do it. For if God has forgiven you 10,000 talents worth, what's your 100 denarii in comparison? Fear God. And then comes, we've got to keep going, but look at verse 10, the word that I've, 9 and 10 there, I put the word honor there. By the way, my American Bible doesn't know how to spell honor. Don't forget, you are in honor. Okay? Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your produce. Now, it's very interesting that when these words were written, the Jewish people who first heard these words gave how much of their gifts to God every day? How much were they supposed to give? Do you know? It starts with a T. A tenth, right? If you want to say it in Bible language, a tithe. But the other thing that really strikes me about this, that the Jewish people had a feast called the first fruits. So when the harvest time began, what they would do, they would be required to take the very best, the most beautiful lamb or heifer or crops, cauliflowers in my case, and present that to the Lord as a thank offering. Bring the first fruits. And brothers and sisters, I remember an old Dutchman saying to me once, you could tell the temperature, the spiritual temperature of a congregation by the manner in which they're giving. There's some truth in that. And so I ask you, do you honor God? We're teaching our children this, are we? Do we honor God with our first fruits? You know, we sing in our church the song very easily, take my life and let it be. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. They slip off so beautifully. But the challenge is there. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And by the way, it's not just money wealth. Can I say, as a young person, when I heard, I wondered if I should also use my brain wealth for God. You understand what I mean? Take my mind. And I had ambitions to be a banker when I was young. I thought that would be a great job, lots of moolah. But then I found there was a much greater wealth in doing what I do today. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, if we're going to teach our children that, actions speak louder than words, don't they? Okie dokie. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I've never had that, but I know one thing. As a father and a mother, what barn do you want to have in your barns and vats? I want to see my children faithful to the Lord. That's wealth. And you can tell me, I can have them. What does a prophet of man, says Jesus, to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? This is the call for the wisdom that we must have in Christ. And then comes that last verses 11 and 12. Ooh. My son, my daughter, do not despise the Lord's wisdom or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves those whom he loves. You know, I want to highlight the fact that so often when it comes to trusting Jesus, when it comes to fearing the Lord, when it comes to honoring with his wealth, we ask ourselves the question, what if it doesn't work? Have you ever had that what if problem in your life? What if? I remember hearing about a young minister who was ordained, this actually happened in West Australia, who was ordained and 3 months later Everybody was so excited about him. He and a group of young people decided to go and hand out pamphlets around the city. And as they were delivering them, he had a car accident and he died. I cried. Why does God let a man spend years and years in theological education and then like that? Is God faithful? I remember hearing from a South African family where home invasion is a horrible, horrible reality on many farms. My mum said one. She loved the Lord. And one night, three men came in, raped, and murdered her. How does God reward us? It's very, very easy to become cynical at this point. Or to make a pious statement, the body they may kill, you know, that kind of statement. But we must recognize, brothers and sisters, that as I've said, the greatest lesson that you have to learn in your life is to acknowledge that God's in charge and that he will never leave you or forsake you. How does the saying say? Even though, Psalm 23, even though I walk where? Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. Now, I'm told that one of the real problems of old men is that we get cynical, seen it all, and what difference does a lifetime of ministry make? And some of us as parents that are now grandparents are saying, really? I know those questions are there, but can I testify to the young kids as a granddad and testify to all of us, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you my boast is God's faithfulness. Not only is it my boast, it's my only hope. And I don't understand a lot of things that happen in this life, but God does. And I need to appreciate, that's that fourth word, I need to appreciate that God's got it all together. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I just have these words of Jesus here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Listen to the Father's instruction. Write his words on your heart. Wear them like a necklace. Let love and faithfulness never forsake you. Trust God. Fear God. Honor God and appreciate the fact that God is always in control. Well, God will give you peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Can we ask we pray the Lord's Prayer together? We all know that one. We can all say it. Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, ever and ever. Amen.